The last time I was here, I spoke a bit about and read a bit about Edward Marshall. And I'll just, little update on that is that Derek Fenner and Garrett Caples are editing a Stephen Jonas reader, which some of you already know. And David, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm glad to know. No. And which City Lights will be publishing. Well, you should be telling us this.
I don't know when it's coming out. The deadline for the manuscript is June. So.
It's June. And there's a cache of letters and poems between Stephen Jonas and Ed Marshall from the early 50s that I found that I've been transcribing. And so some of those, I think, will be in that. And that'll be the first sort of new publication of Ed Marshall in a very, very long time. And hopefully that will then lead to more. I thought I'd mostly read tonight from an ongoing, long, open-ended sequence called Sweep. But I want to read a few short things first. And then also I'll interrupt that in the middle to read a little bit from two new books that are quite different in character. But I found two poems written at very long separated intervals for Garrett, who is missed more than I can say. I'll begin with these two poems for Garrett. One from 1979 and one from 2001. At the Library for Garrett. Trees leave the stone no sun, scrolls roof our songs. Sun moans. Earthy bodies harbor echoes. This next poem was included in a birthday box that Bill Corbett organized for Garrett in 2003, contributions from many people. Erotic Empire. I've learned to read beneath the skin, a body work preferable to modern art or a fucked up community in that beautiful valley I hardly remember, because I can't stop dreaming, thinking, seeing your mouth, the painful deformations of speech I want to work out. A humble tradesman, I harbor harsh analyses. I have no harem. Selection washed its open arms of me. Power, philosophical, biology, ideology. We suffer the violence of an animal credence. And all of that science that endows the increasingly describable world with consequence disappears in a tingling transfer named after time's collapse. Delirious solitude, nada Brahma, expressway twilight, visible fragrance, Erotic Empire. And that was written on a Peter Pan bus leaving Hartford, Connecticut. This is a short prose piece for friends who were married in 2012, James Yeary and Laura Junt. It's called The Transparent Farmer. There was a potato farmer in Idaho whose flesh was transparent. Not just his skin, but all his soft tissue as well, so that he looked like one of those skeletons who spring from the ground in Jason and the Argonauts. The townspeople never completely got over their discomfort at seeing him, so he mostly kept to himself. No one noticed that his bones were gradually becoming transparent, too. One day, he came into town for seed, and all that could be seen was a rusted clasp from an old and heavy book, dangling and turning in the air as he spoke, his voice soft and fine as cheesecloth. And another dedication. This is for a friend, a mutual friend, Chris Daniels. This is called Milonga. How did it begin, this gray funk, this minus tide? Was it a headline in the Times, a badly written book, a thoughtless lunch, the parking ticket, the rain? I postpone appointments, miss deadlines, run out of gas, until all I can do is curse the future with its broken promises, abandoned resolutions, wasted time. But what joy when a thin square carton arrives from the south. La Cruz del Sur, el mate amargo. I can't help but sing along. It's hopeless. This happiness will kill you. Instead of a lucky number, it's your friend and his family dead in the street, while another friend's baby is late. And this is the world. A tornado, a suicide, a tango, stupidity, a kiss. A play in a game, but the rest of the game has been forgotten. So I've been working on, or working in, really, I should say, this long sequence called Sweep for many years now, and essentially anything that I write that doesn't insist on its autonomy is a candidate for being pulled into sweep.
Swept and sweep.
Exactly. There are lots of brooms at work. And so I'll read a sequence, a selection, an area of sweep, and then do a couple of other pieces from books that have just come out, and then a little more of sweep. And the sections are all numbered, and the numbers correspond to days, but I won't read the numbers. We ruin the perfect book with our first word. I've destroyed the blankness that preceded me. No word begins with this nothing, which always comes at the end. I am Troy Davis, or I am Trayvon Martin, is a speech act, or is it a Bangladeshi t-shirt, a stage of development according to theory? My motive in saying I am anything or nothing at all is to risk discovery. If I am Troy Davis, then I died and I watched myself die. If I don't make any profit from the next round, then I'm not much of a businessman. When it's time to dance the polka mazolka, we're going to stop at every graveyard. I'll be your baby tonight and your lucky pencil tomorrow. You'll need my help to resist discipline and own the sense you've made. The flies own the house. I only rent. Everyone can't be Issa. Currently cultivating moss, the emphasis on Elysian. The unavoidable uniform at the corner of infinite and main, the universal whole at the intersection of minor and perfect. Putting the book to the face, a vitiated soiree, a lossy social swath. A direct quotation of a paraphrase of a direct quotation of a report of an indirect question. Impressions of occasions, estamp. What good's a phone in a forest? Oh, photos of mushrooms. Is that suspicious? Orange, purple, dusky gray, delicate sheets of fungal scrip decorate the saintly muck. The desire for recollection and any instruments at hand is how we choose to think. That one I resemble, whose name means war. Most ancient time change, lines descend into the sky. Park that echo, silver that lake. Cohomology of sheaves, if every pale were a cross, a living fence, opposites united. Ammo depot, spring against all, occupy stubble. Thank a veteran and Heinz will donate $1.57. Think a precedent and what will Brown, Root and Company do? Hunt the guided goose. What part of road kills don't you understand? Bondage, breaker, recovery. Jealous Ferry Road, Northern California Veterinary Seminary. Your money became other money. Walking the beach, sans device. What else might be shed, effortless, naming day and season, feet aching in cold surf. Every direction is true to the earth or a line drawn upon it. Dear Jan, I think it's time you got that international driving permit so that we can go to Europe the next time it's 1975. Earl, snowflakes glinting in the filtered sun, sky dandruff on my black wool coat. Let's break some rocks and drive those rodents underground. What was given will give way. We will impress you. You've got to hear this nun. Guaranteed to be identical. Need we say more? To the censor. All utterances form patterns. Your nursery rhymes, for example, with your purse. Wait until leader clears the lunar. A sojourn in differentiation, a career bracketed by vacations. Love conquers all. Shirts can be either case. A leash in each hand for walking is fundamental. Sleeping, standing, in arrested fall, the suffering of other embryos. All talk coded shame, new codes in case of ecstasy, the rest of the collage waiting in the marrow of the phone. So two books have recently been published, and they're perfect examples of work that did not want to be part of Sweep. In one case, it's something that's older, but in another case, it's just work that is autonomous. And maybe I'll read the older one first. So this is a piece called Selected Durations, and it was a prototype of this artist book was first made about 25 years ago, 20, 30 years ago, by the book artist Catherine Keene, who I was married to at the time. And several prototypes were made, but it was never, an edition was never produced. And a couple of years ago, a book artist named Inga Brueggemann, who teaches now in Reno and is the director of the Black Rock Press at the University of Nevada in Reno, after I performed this for a class of hers, asked how I would feel if they published it as an edition. And I said, I've been waiting 25 years, I'd be really thrilled. So it's finally now out as a book, an unusual book, an artist book. This requires a prop. Can everyone see this? Okay.
You can develop some film too.
Oh, sorry? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I could make various jokes about what will develop, and I'm not going to do that. So this is called Selected Durations. I've never done this sitting, so we'll see how this goes.
We're
sitting.
We're going to try to get out of that chair, Dick. Yeah,
I'm
down
not,
low.
Yeah, yeah.
Low,
yeah,
rider.
Yeah. One hundred billionth of a trillionth of a second, light travels across proton. 1/10 millionth of a second, light impresses photosensitive emulsion. 100,000th of a second, neutron emitted in fission event captured by another nucleus during atomic explosion. 1,000th of a second, main discharge of lightning travels from ground up to thundercloud. 2,000th of a second, first official telegraph message reaches Washington from Baltimore. 3,000th of a second, housefly's wings beat one stroke. 1/100th of a second, sensation of toothache pain reaches brain of cat. 2/100th of a second, nerve impulse travels from toe to head of 6-foot person. 2/10th of a second, typewriter key strikes. 4/10th of a second, you memorize each of 7 nonsense syllables. 6/10 of a second, you walk one pace. 8/10 of a second, you read a one-syllable word. 1 second, windshield wiper on 1975 Chevelle makes one stroke. Light travels 124,000 miles through glass. 22 caliber rifle bullet travels 1,200 feet. Telephone signal travels 100,000 miles. You say 5 words. 1.8 seconds, animal with electrodes attached to pleasure centers of brain presses lever to receive shock off and continuing at this rate for 24 hours. 2.5 seconds, echo returns to surface from deepest part of ocean. 3 seconds, you change a typewriter ribbon. 4 seconds, U.S. industry consumes a ton of alloy steel. 4.8 seconds, professionally punted football hangs in the air. 5 seconds, mice in the wild copulate. 6 seconds, you straighten and fold a towel. 7 seconds, Wolfgang Holzmeier keeps his head in a lion's mouth. 10 seconds, Slinky tumbles down flight of stairs. 15 seconds, the Happiness Boys sing the interwoven socks jingle. 20 seconds, monkeys who have had experience using sticks figure out they can reach bananas with them. 30 seconds, usual duration of hypnotism in sheep. 1 minute, brain of newborn grows 1 to 2 milligrams. Shrew's heart beats 1,000 times. Toilet refills, cut finger stops bleeding. White blood cell attacks and overcomes bacillus. 2 minutes, population of California increases by 1. Skilled seamstress sews 50 stitches. You shed 20,000 particles of skin. Giraffe runs a mile. Blue shark swims a mile. Olympic swimmer swims 200 meters backstroke. Burner on gas stove heats frying pan to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Sun travels 20,000 miles in its orbit. Earth 2200. Amtrak's Metroliner accelerates from 0 to 160 miles per hour. You absorb a pint of oxygen through your lungs. 10 tons of coal are cut from an underground scene. 8 burglaries are committed in the U.S. Light from the sun travels 1/4 the distance of the Earth. I read this poem aloud. Thank you. I've gotten too good. I beat it now. I'm always beating it. I thought, oh no, I made a few slips. It'll catch up. So one every year, I mean, some of you no doubt have been to the marathon reading at St. Mark's Church on New Year's Day, which is a big fundraiser that they do every year. And oh, I don't know, many people read. It's 7-8 hours long. And they always ask people to, when I was living in New York and participated, they would always ask people to keep their contributions to 2 minutes. And people would be brief, but nobody really paid attention specifically to the 2-minute mark. And one year I decided that I would do something that was 2 minutes. It was exactly 2 minutes and was about being exactly 2 minutes long. And that led to that piece.
Maybe you should get one of those to the open mic.
Exactly, yeah. And the source text was a book called Durations, which was an encyclopedia of how long things take from subatomic to cosmological events, but I used only the durations up to 2 minutes. This is a new book called 14 Eclipses from Couch Press in Portland. And what both of these books have in common is that the texts are essentially scores. their scores for performance. In some sense, every text is a score, but these are more explicitly scores for a quasi-musical kind of performance. And in the case of this, the Eclipses, and a number of other related works, they are really explorations of different kinds of reading. So this form, which I consider a form like a sonnet, an eclipse, a generic term, arose from reading a text in a particular way to try to essentially inflate it or expand it and fold it in on itself. And though there may be no human event, there may be no human event that may be no human event that is, be no human event that is as no human event that is as without human event that is as without defense event that is as without defense as that is as without defense as torture is as without defense as torture others as without defense as torture others give without defense as torture others give rise defense as torture others give rise to as torture others give rise to the torture others give rise to the same others give rise to the same central give rise to the same central question rise to the same central question by to the same central question by what the same central question by what perceptual same central question by what perceptual process central question by what perceptual process does question by what perceptual process does it by what perceptual process does it come what perceptual process does it come about perceptual process does it come about that process does it come about that one does it come about that one human it come about that one human being come about that one human being can about that one human being can stand that one human being can stand beside one human being can stand beside another 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 human being and stand beside another human being in agonizing beside another human being in agonizing pain another human being in agonizing pain and human being in agonizing pain and not being in agonizing pain and not know in agonizing pain and not know it agonizing pain and not know it not pain and not know it not know and not know it, not know it, not know it, not know it to know it, not know it to the it, not know it to the point, not know it to the point where, know it to the point where he, it to the point where he himself to the point where he himself inflicts the point where he himself inflicts it, point where he himself inflicts it and where he himself inflicts it and once he himself inflicts it and once again himself inflicts it and once again lead inflicts it and once again lead to it and once again lead to an and once again lead to an answer once again lead to an answer centering again lead to an answer centering on lead to an answer centering on interactions to an answer centering on interactions between an answer centering on interactions between the answer centering on interactions between the body centering on interactions between the body and on interactions between the body and voice interactions between the body and voice made between the body and voice made possible the body and voice made possible by body and voice made possible by a and voice made possible by a language voice made possible by a language of made possible by a language of agency that's a the source text is a sentence from Elaine Scarry's book The Body in Pain. It's a literary critical work that tries to deal with questions like torture. So all of the pieces in the 14 Eclipses follow that process, but with different source texts resulting in very different character. So this is some more from Sweep. Setting sun touches a restless nested limit. Light arrested, casts not a shadow but vignettes. Every shadow I feared was a definition of light. An enchanted voice returns from another's youth, filled with roses, doves, and tombs, as though no time had passed, and still we looked into an inscrutable future. I am not even myself, much less another. Resolve never again to sign your name. And I should say that there are occasionally some of these sections are quotations. Maybe I'll note those. Arabic pop music, Turkish coffee, the food, the music, bringing elsewhere here to this table, every elsewhere someone's lost past. Your book is so full of words, there isn't room for even one more. I could listen to you all night. Why don't you drop your pen and crawl into bed with me? The choreography of a small production kitchen, to be on the line, to make words work, to fire, to drop, the tragedy of delicacy in the ramen district. A killer showered with petals. Postal a la noche. Do you feel torn too? Sudden summer demanding your balmiest demeanor? Or do you ride easy, unruffled even with the top down, passing the buck to what must in any case come up? If they put their life into it, does that mean they put their death into it too? The human second hand, 24-hour desk. Chance anchoring, wing song. Customs persist in new costumes. Your car is expecting you. To make things happen, we set aside strangeness. To make sense, we shackle words. The art of printing photos on your skin. Order is not a property of matter. Rounding in action. Pedicure or pedicab? Bracero Memorial from Salinas to Soledad. Bridges Creek Bridge, Bridges, Bridges Creek. Be visible. Move the boundary marker or mark a few extra trees. It's pragmatic. You don't want to be the next one to die with that. Long forgotten differences we shared. Snake check area. In a minor crash. Bandon random marble rental. Night work tonight. Dune and beach. View ranch. Creek farm. Drain cemetery. I'm super over it. Love comes but once to a shoe. That's Bill Bergson. And this is Artaud. I do not want to be forced to put on the glove of a skeleton that has been extracted from an anatomy of the false cosmos. And then a friend, Jeffrey Lee, a road running off into the difference. Tall glass of iced green tea. Smartphone raffle ticket. The Rio depends on you. Sun-driven breezes rustle cottonwood leaves. Below, trainers grading student mapping. Midsummer harvest done by noon. A switch flipped 10,000 years ago. Entropy is blind. Ideas, rivers, decay. We dream of flying because we are always falling. And this is Emerson. We do not know today whether we are busy or idle. In times when we thought ourselves indolent, we have afterwards discovered that much was accomplished and much was begun in us. All our days are so unprofitable while they pass that 'tis wonderful where or when we ever got anything of this we call wisdom, poetry, virtue. We never got it on any dated calendar day. At the air quality control station. Forgetting some scrap can cost you lots of money. Straining to read, you earn your headache. Four long lines of cars, engines idling. Only men this morning, men in their cars. I turn the motor on and off, a big mistake. I nearly fail the test, and it wastes gas. Next to me, a grandfather rolls down his window. He writes sonnets. His name is Thomas Hardy. This is G.K. Chesterton. There are some very clever people who cannot enjoy their joy unless they understand it. There are other and even cleverer people who say that they lose the joy the moment they do understand it. Thank God I was never clever and could always enjoy things when I understood them and when I didn't. In memoriam, Kenneth Irby. Failed love, lost inscriptions, the irascible longing, a body among bodies having once turned away, turning back again to speak, all of this in the mind only, the restless, insatiable acquisition of what can be said, not known. Your cadences, those hills, and how you knew them, survivals and refusals, all contradictable. We protest and are removed. No one will listen, but we listen. To be an eddy beside the rushing stream. And from Thomas A. Clarke, nouns cluster about each verb. My sleeve is held by a briar. A season, a state of law in the many-chambered mind, encased by hard words. The highlights have all been suppressed. Secretly political was a youthful delusion. Rain and other popular music escapes industrial exploitation not at all. The salt in my blood that's ringing in my ears is the life that passes in and out of misconstrued commemorations. Only say never once. The future is the slave of the past. Thanks very much.
So I think I'll read just from this new book of mine, Situ, which is, I don't know, it's a kind of odd mix of genres. It's somehow settles in this gaps between poetry and expository prose and novelistic or diegetic prose. But it is a continuous narrative of sorts. So separated, as you've all seen in the copies I've shown you, by a diacritical sort of where each stanza, as it were, trails off into the next. So it may sound like I'm beginning in the middle, but I always begin everything in the middle. So that's how this book starts. But that's not all. This seat, his seat, has never been another's, has always only been dispensed to find his occupancy near, to suit his nearing occupation, if not the present circumstance of being thereby occupied, of being set upon by only him alone. This is to say that as he turns his gaze back to his harbor, no matter what corrosive goad provoked him to dethrone, the cardinal intimation that his pulp should find no lading on that ramshackle recliner leaves him hardly in existence, hardly corrigibly extant, a manifold of carrion both drifting past and soon to come, and soon to spoil here. Surely it has happened before, he thinks. He has left his bench before, many times, countless times, which does nothing to prevent him from attempting such a count, an assay that's near equal to the feint of its achievement, at least when it's considered from the outside, or the outside of the outside, nearly the inside, but not quite, not yet. He still knows the difference, knows the difference is all difference, every difference held in state, both in and out, in state and kind. There was that one occasion, just the other day. He can almost feel the weight of the sun on his back. It was the last sun, the last time there was a sun, that the weight of the back of the sun was. He can almost taste it. That's what they say. That's what they say, he thinks, that one can almost taste it when one thinks that one can taste it. But that's not right. Not quite his right, if nothing less obscure. He thinks that if he manages to disregard all other sense, the less of it, the more of it, he thinks it could be all, then he can nearly cast himself back into that last Phoebus, perhaps the brightest double yet to simper through the burnished vault, the vaulting bar. Just the other day. The other day, when he had, for example, left his bench for nothing less than the necessity of leaving his bench, and nothing more perhaps, again perhaps, perhaps again, for nothing more or less than the necessity of leaving his bench, an urgency made manifest by nothing more or less than the perplexed and blushing affect of his calentured cheek, his lips adrift from gums in pained retraction from the glossa, and the next ostensive centering of everything that centers on a muscular convulsion of the egress of the split. But no, he thinks, not yet, or not again, he'd rather vow. It's always best when yet is made indifferent to again, when one can't tell the difference, when the difference is indifferent, and yet again is again yet, when always when what has not happened nonetheless rescinds its done opprobrium of losses and returns that fevered omphalos to some intrinsic innocence of gusts. Perhaps it was the wind-made spit to transpierce his latissimus, perhaps his mast fit witless to the porch of his arrival, but it's so he sees it so. For once he can attend the rule, and this time, just this once, not merely sharp his eager focus on the absence of a speaker spoken to by speaking out. There was a sun the other day. He felt its weight upon his back, but even in the living of that moment, he still failed to think, still rightly failed to think that mass an attribute of anything but his deferred reception, of his burden in its hauling, a fantasy of ballast that seemed sweet as it reached tongue. If he cannot taste it, he cannot bear it, an endless source of trouble in his commerce on the boulevard, however one can say that he has bought or sold his wares. If he cannot taste it, it is not his, this foundling glimpse, but everything that's in it is imputable to him. He cannot think this protean reduction of the scene to some assemblage of distrait associations, of surrenders of the outside to some intimated core, accordingly a predicate of his peculiar potency, his binding resignation to a boundless drive, a soughing dray. But who is really able to make such returnless venture allege a conformation to a vision of achievement, so a practice in the slightest way compelled? An odd rhetorical. Who's to say anything, to speak anyway? Thus accepting his unknowing, if unknowable acceptance of a world that's not on offer, but is taken up by force, the sense of sensibilities not understood as sensate allows a nearer vision of his present paralipsis, of what he thinks a vestige of his minderless lookout. Nearer is not inside, it may be, but there's the triumph. To be inside would be equal to a positure bemused. If it's inside that you're after, then it's inside. Thus, revealing his acceptance of a world he thinks as given, of a world he's since received, he's since aroused, if still too soon, he thinks back to the last son, the only son he's managed to think back to as a likeness. But still he can't lay claim to having ever claimed it present, so to here fulfill his promise, his next promise to the absent. How else could one model such an aftermath of voices? How return one's thinking to a day so long ago, so long past, return such empty savor to the trick of having passed? Why not here allow this indiscretion, this offensive, to take one no less willingly than bound towards such presentment, towards some resolve that's set before the passions of the scene to come? To come, it is to come, he thinks, but that is not his present purpose, nor is it. The last son, the only son, the only is the last son, and that passed long or short ago, whenever it played out within his inn, it doesn't matter. Whether it matters or not, that is to say, he knows it can't be known, if for no other reason than the fact that such a standard is precisely what's gone missing since it happened, since it last appeared. Without this subjugation to the discrepating shadows, some atmospheric median to measure up against, he knows that he can't hope to frame the passage of the hours, and without the passing hours, his days appear a nearly insurmountable expanse. Perhaps he can hope, but he doesn't. For him, it's proved impossible to cite what he's collected as a singular impression, as a summary dissemblance, without the sense of passing into typic pose. He remembers only that which is inestimably long ago, for the fact that if the estimate were obvious to him, and that is all that means, he thinks, that viscerous alterity of cherished modes, of modes held dear, then he'd recall the figure of such gustatory ignis whenever it had slithered into happenstance, so had at some present time appeared. All this to elucidate his wholly novel status, his displacement from the outside of the inside of the view, a posture unexampled to the auditors of fortune as they're passing, as they saunter quickly past his septic cipher of a seal. He is as yet none other than another, than no other other ought, not only as an other, but as all others, as every other ever ought to be. That some are is as others ought is not his pressing problem, but of him, but for him. Enough. He's had enough. But such conditional satiety won't dissuade him from returning to a moment from which he'll soon forevermore depart, when once again the burden of a passing fancy passes into dilatory savor, the radiance coerce a squint from convalescent pupils, and the heat upon his neck impel the sweat to start. He can still recall that day as clearly as clear as this one, but he can see it clearer. It's not that it's more approximate, but that it's limned in greater detail, as a spotlight can illumine in an instant what's been hidden from the easy eye for centuries. When was it, he wonders. No, that's not the crucial question, not the right question, he's sure. Even he, despite his longings, will not foist upon his subjects the vexation of such trivial concerns. Or perhaps that's not the reason. Rather than perhaps. He is yet rather incapable of saying, of deducing, when it was that he was last, perhaps still first, but surely last, when he was last afflicted with that menacing exigency, that cavalcade of poses that his plethora implies. It would be foolish to assume the contradiction has escaped him, that such contraction of cross purposes, cross explanations, he believes, as though he might esteem his dreaming motive into some triumphant portrait of conditions not just born out but derived, could slip by without notice, not by tongue or affectation, but by being likewise thrust into an unshared world. It would be foolish, he accepts, and while such foolishness won't push his expedition into shipwreck, he feels it is a shot across the prow. And neither is his pleasure what excites such restive purpose, what instigates his suppliance to such a feckless trove. No pleasure, really. He confesses to no pleasure in the pleasing, but in his image of the being pleased. He has this once remembered, has suggested to his altar, if only just this moment having first inferred its gaze, that his facile acquiescence to this inchoate adventure may be twofold, but in each case feigns the one, the singular surrender to. Need he go no further? No, that's still not it, he thinks. Not is it most liable to engender such resolve. Need he make it clearer, like such, more like such a one would fairly suffer in return? It's always been a posture of passivity he's after, a threshold of receivership he ambles ever towards. Need such a hapless satiety go anywhere, he wonders? No, there is no need. It goes without saying. There is no need to say it, but what's more, one need not say, one need not say. He can't help but remember. A fact that won't prevent him from attending to that standard, for the equally impertinent but no less circumstantial, does not ever thus prevent him from the saying, for the exploit of disclosing that what needs be said is nothing, nothing like what is said, which is always as a surfeit, the always more than nothing that this symbol of an absence makes intrinsic, makes a predicate. This, the vessel that each more than merely nothing serves to fill. He has unconcealed a twofold explanation for his rancor, his subtle divagation as a parenthetic pause. He has recalled that at his earliest awareness of the sun upon his shoulder, his neck, his back, the back of his neck and the front of his shoulder, has felt through spreading gelatin of grimy frock, of molting peel, that the advent of the shine through that imperious edema stirred him from his resting place to seek out some relief, to seek an ease from what had seemed a visceral distemper, accorded by the fevered cusp of spitting lips, of guts clenched tight. So which is it, he wonders, which point for the pointer to point to as his foundling husk, his ported shell? It is easy enough to accept the occasional coincidence of sun and seizure without designating primacy of stimulus or cause, but it is just as easy to deem either the occasion, the placeholder of a world expelled from aspiration or expectancy, a world that's been unyieldingly, interminably deferred. Deferred to present circumstance, that is the presence. Deferred to present circumstance, that then of spendthrift splendor, both writ across his rictus and the vizard of the star, was made at last, at least, to seem an equal approbation for this consummate remainder, this submission to an otherwise importunate regard. Just who's being importuned? Who being importuned? One thinks of every circumstance as serving some base ego, some target of intention that is consummately in, which is to say, not out. He thinks of every mover as a personhood, an agent, whereas the seeming obverse is not graced with such resort. Not every fitful anima is likewise capable of movement, but in this case, both coincident conditions, the fever that ingeminates the out that mirrors in, and the in that takes the mood of every out to be its own, are identically engrossing, and together serve as setting for this portent of a finished tale. Or that one, he thinks. That one that he thinks of and not in. And so it was that when the sun was last lit blear and bold, when last his weary rapture hit that muzzle of a gloam, and not because of, not by virtue, he slackens and he hesitates. He fractures every fractured stone, and there, just there, he seizes on an inkling of some next propitious advent, a supplicant's peremptory refrain. He recalls that pulsing plenitude because it was quite blinding, because that gasping vault was so discordantly ablazed. But that's not why he stumbled into that same recollection, why he can't seem to stop himself from yielding to this swoon. For that, he has himself to blame. In that, he finds his witness. But that's not it at all, he thinks. That's not his it at all. Or while that's not it at all, that's still not it, and it's always just the shibboleth of this perplexed anaphora he's after. That it. This, that. That, this, it. What matters is, what is the matter is, that is that once, that once before, that at least once before, he left his bulwark unattended. Precisely as he had at some pass prior to this last return. And that time, while perhaps still something less than, or is it more, either more or less than, singular in occurrence, not unique, that is to say, in his typology of forms, is nonetheless the only instant, the one instance of abandon he can actually remember, or in what he imagines as a present tense, recall. That one last time the sun was out and inside he could feel his bloat amount to an exigency, a want, he is convinced, that no consumer of like character can fail to fully slake without at once erupting in the strain of abnegation, without discreetly bursting before the next pass through. He knows this is a commonplace in his life as all others. He knows that recollecting just this instance is inane. What matters is that in his view the present scene is singular, and that not for the reference to his past evacuations, but the length of time it took him to retreat to place and prime. That in all other incidents of leaving off by leaving place, his leaving had no consequence, achieved no signal enemy, that thus adduced neither discomfort nor ensuing palliation to a portion with a logic or a cause. That he can only recollect one previous occurrence of the kind might prove a fault in his analysis, but it's a point of scant relation to what concerns him here and now, which is the understanding, the drawing out of what in substance made his stray from course result in such ponderous dudgeon, in refractory replacement, a change in state accepted, if in any tense endured, if revealed at any moment that's conceived of as at present, as having been or soon to be described in present term. To catch the nervy beast, one must not spring out at a distance. What makes such recall apropos, thus different from all others, from that of any other next to or to come, is that he has it, and so can give a shape to that lost moment in the now. This is not to say that what on this deferred occasion has exceeded to the mind's eye, or even on that very same occasion, this occasion here evokes, is exactly what there was when it was there on the outside, but only that such aggregate bears some obscure proximity to what he thinks there is or was, there was or is. Perhaps it is a kind of saying, a modulation of no small consequence. Perhaps he is saying to himself what he believes does not corroborate such cursory, such uniform reversion to some singular momentum, neither distant now nor near, as refuse bobbing on the waves that catches the regard of idle gazer, so that following the speed of what had once appeared, the chaos of the deluge reads as stagnant in relation to the moving shore. He is saying to himself that thus distinguishing the torrent, thereby bringing it to stasis, if not keeping it in view, does not confirm, should not betoken, the singularity of anything but a detail in the bracket of attention, where before that there was no such, there was none. I'll leave it there.